The DL Debate, brought to you by the Dry Arch Complex and 24-hour service station Letterkenny. Check this.
Welcome one and all to another episode of the DL Debate, a packed show in store, a busy weekend in Donegal GAA. They say 2 out of 3 ain't bad. That's tough on the Donegal ladies. Mickey McCann's hurlers coming through with a championship victory over Donegal and Tyrone, but our ladies coming up just short against Dublin, all conquering 3 in a row, 4 in a row chasing Dublin. Actually, we hear from the Donegal ladies manager Maxi Kern later in the show. We're also going to hear from Manus Boyle as we look back. Our 92 hero Manus Boyle, we're going to reminisce back to 25 years ago and Killy Begg's championship victory. Now, as I say, on Saturday our hurlers made a 2 1s out of 2 in the Nicky record with a victory over Armagh, following up a victory in Longford. A really good game and testing conditions in the park. And I'd have to say, you know, the way Donegal dealt with the breeze, they stayed with Armagh in the first half. Sean McVeigh, man of the match, sweeping in the round the half back line, had a great game. And in the second half, Conor O'Grady had a wonderful score from play and was followed up by a Kevin Keighley goal. And Donegal never looked back after that. They're heading towards a semi-final on the 14th or 15th of November, and it's looking like Tyrone. So we'll be getting some feedback later on down the line from their manager, Mickey McCann. But we turn our attention now to the big game in Balbuffet yesterday, the titanic clash of Tyrone and Donegal. And turn our attention to the big game in Balbuffet yesterday, are the neighbours fighting it out, Donegal and Tyrone, knockout championship, first round in Ulster. And we have two men who know a thing about these big games. We have Enda McGinley of Tyrone and Eamon McGee of Donegal joining us. How are you, lads?
As a four, right. What's the crack?
A wee bit of a good and a bad in there. Just Mickey Hart's quote there yesterday, a painful defeat. How are you feeling that pain, or how's things in Tyrone today?
Is the famous movie line, is there any other sort? absolutely painful defeat for a number of reasons. One, because with the conditions and with the way the match went, it's such a narrow line. And then you're looking at what lies ahead. You know, there is great potential in both Tyrone and Donegal to have done something significant on the All-Ireland stage, and them chances are so rare in the way that this year's championship is likely to pan out. I think it's a real good chance. And so just as a past player, you just know that those chances are so, so rare, and to have lost it yesterday on such fine margins, it just makes it look, it's raw, it's hard to accept, it's so rare, and it's even so difficult just to get on the concept back in their head that that's it, gone, over, shiné, 3 weeks after starting up again. So, much to ponder today from a Tyrone point of view.
Yeah. And Eamon, just that whole mindset around people saying, should the championship go ahead, should it not? You know, you have this thing, some people saying, oh, what odds about it? But, you know, you obviously your brother's playing in there. Surely for the players, they're still saying, listen, there's an Ulster here, there's a potential All-Ireland here for either of these teams. So in that mindset, did you notice anything different from Donegal going into this? It's such a strange thing, weather, fans, etc. But still, that team silverware is available.
The thing about it, you know, and that's why the two teams, for them to give the performance they did, were so mentally strong, because there's so much distractions, so much outside kind of influences coming in, that for them to give the performance and to show them what it really meant, you know, you have to give the hats off to them. And like I've seen from a distance, you know yourself, you're not going to get much information from Neil or any of the lads now, but I've seen from a distance the work that they'd put in. Even during the lockdown, there were Zoom calls going on. You know, I might land it in and he would give you the eye just to get out of the room. You know, he was on the Zoom call, and I know the preparation, and I know what it means to them. So that's why, you know, you're sitting there watching the game yesterday, and it was just horrible to watch as a spectator. You just have no control over it. Like, and it's so tense. And actually made the recommendation, can we just put the last 10 minutes off here and just switch it on in 15 minutes and see how we get on, like, because it was just torture. Like.
It was tough. Listen, and when Neil McGee gives you the eyes to get out of the room, I would take that signal. That's 100%. And just looking at the early start of the part of the match, you know, I thought Tyrone's tactics surprised me. We spoke about them a couple of weeks ago, how they had no real platform inside for the attack. They weren't let forwards be forwards. And as if Hart just unveiled this plan where we thought, you know, we had McKenna up front, we had McCurry and Canavan around them. They'd stretched Donegal. They were 5-1 up at the water break. Their matchups in terms of Myler was taking McHugh out of the game. You know, Donnelly was taking Murphy out of the game. McCurry was doing well, McMenamin. And the other big matchup was of course, McGee and McKenna. They were having a bit of a ding-dong. So 3 out of 4 was going in Tyrone's favour. Donegal were, you know, all over the place. And it was really at that stage, Tyrone were showing that they had settled. They weren't worried about the away format. And they were coming to win the match. Very different from the league game 2 weeks previous.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose the biggest thing I seem to be absolutely straight is that the league game was Tyrone's first game. They'd played no challenge games. And then that game and then the Mayo performance. So that automatically changes the intensity that a team is playing at. So Tyrone came out at championship intensity. To be honest, I was quite disappointed at the intensity Donegal brought. It didn't look anywhere near championship intensity from a Donegal point of view in that first 20 minutes. So Tyrone obviously looked better than that. In terms of the more attacking bent, I think whenever you've got players that excite you in there, that you want, that if you're playing, say for me, back in the day, you had the likes of Stephen O'Neill or Canavan, and when you were on the ball as a team, you wanted to get them players on the ball. So whenever you have the likes of McKenna in there and Canavan and that there, you want to get the ball. And we seen that against Mayo, just whenever you have that sort of talent out there, and players, county players, recognize whenever you have special talent, they are special talent. So from a drone point of view, that automatically means if you've got the ball out the middle, the first look you take is inside rather than lateral or anything like that. And whenever you start doing that and you have boys in there that are keen to get on it, well, then them passes are going to be there. So the combination of having them personnel in there, massive difference. But the biggest thing was just the intensity Tyrone brought it, which was a massive step up from where they were in the league. That didn't surprise me. What surprised me, actually, I thought Donegal got off to a really flat start yesterday. But then they weathered the storm and the water break. The water break has been a massive change in the game, and they used that well.
Yeah, funny, we interviewed Declan Bonner after the game and he was hoarse, I would say. And that a lot of that was probably that first water break, but there was a purple patch for Donegal, and Donegal somewhat righted the wrongs and the players that stood up for you in the game after that water break.
Yeah, and in terms of, you know, there's so much chat about coaching and game plans and styles of play that, you know, it was just, that all went out the window yesterday. It was just about getting over the line, and, you know, it was great to see the likes of Huey carrying ball, you know, Langan just stepping up and having a pop. Pater Morgan, I don't think that was talked. That was his first championship game against Tyrone, and, you know, the amount of possessions he got on, he set up the goal. Of course, Kieran Thompson, who for me has been, he's come on in leaps and bounds, you know, and for them to step up, and that's what we've been asking for this last few years, like that. When someone marks Murphy or Murphy has an off day, and I'm not saying Michael had an off day now. If you watch the second half, he was very, very good now. But he's a focal point, and for the lads to step up and around him and try and get to that level Michael gets, and they definitely did. Yesterday was about showing leadership, about, you know, just knuckling down and getting on with it. And, you know, a lot of them young boys stood up.
They did. And, you know, just on that, you know, it's tough on Jack McKelvey also making his debut, because no one played well in that period at the start. Bonner wanted to change it. So he brought on McHugh. And I felt a lot of our kind of maybe lighter players struggled in the game. I mean, again, going back to the conditions, you know, Jamie Brennan, for me, has toughened up. You know, he's a ball winner, and he played his part yesterday. But there's a few of our players there I thought found it going tough in terms of the conditions, and again it was so difficult. But you're right, that spread of players around then that were going to step up to the plate really did that, and I thought that was a coming of age for a few of our players, the lads that you mentioned, which is vital for Donegal going forward.
Yeah, it's vital. You know, we all know from a club perspective what Kieran Thompson can do, and what the likes of Lyon can do, but for them to go on to the bigger stage now and, you know, step up and, you know, don't live in anybody's shadow. Don't live in Ryan's shadow or Michael's shadow or Neil McGee's shadow or whatever. Go and, you know, claim it themselves. And for me, that was the start of it yesterday. And hopefully they'll push on in this championship. And, you know, they become the players that we all know they can be now. And it was just a great performance.
Yeah, and you're right. You could see Murphy's influence was definitely there second half. And just around the throne, the team and the squad, you know, and I've spoke to you before about this. There's a conveyor belt of talent coming through there, you know, and I look around your entire squad. For me, Tyrone have the best squad in Ulster, and I've make no bones about it. I think they certainly have. Now, team for team, on the 15, I think there's certain players in Donegal, you know, that have such an influence over us, and we have the ability. There's nothing on it 15-15, but I think as a working squad, there's some amount of talent there. You come into the game, obviously, Colm Kavanagh retired. You're missing McShane. You know, Hempsey had the illness. I know he came on late in the game. Obviously, there was a suspension as well in the mix there. So you had a lot of things maybe going against Tyrone. But then when you looked at their bench and the ability to bring in Frank Burns, you know, Mark Bradley coming off the bench as well. You know, you had players like Sludden on the bench. You know, a lot of talent there to go and try and win the game, which Hart did. You know, he took off forward. Some people question that because I think it was more midfield you were struggling. But there's certainly a serious squad there that for Tyrone to work with. And the million-dollar question, of course, this is the end of Mickey's three-year term. Will it be him that's guiding them in the future?
Yeah, you could have an entire show on that question. I think that's going to be the biggest one. It's very quickly, when you ask me, is it hurting at the start? That, and I suppose everybody sort of starts thinking about the match, but the immediate follow-on question for everybody in Tyrone, and very quickly that's becoming the focus of conversations, is that whole area of Mickey Hart. In terms of the strength of the panel, I'd agree. I think there's a very strong panel there, and I suppose it's interesting. The seesaw seems to be happening, that the strength is coming more towards the forward division again. I think midfield is changing significantly, and we haven't found a dominant midfield pair. When you look at Donegal, that's the first thing that really strikes you, is that middle third strength. In terms of defence, which was a strength of the team, particularly when we were playing a more blanket formation, I suppose, I would query, I thought some of our defensive performances was quite weak and ill-disciplined yesterday, and I think that really cost us. And then you look at the leaders, you mentioned the Donegal leaders, you look at the Tyrone leaders, the likes of whenever they were getting to the Ireland semi-final and Ireland final, Matty Donnelly, Petey Hart, Niall Sludden, Tiernan McCann was your four sort of real big engine room men. Niall is now a sub that was used yesterday but didn't make an impact when he came on. Petey Hart was really, really quiet. Matty Donnelly, while he negated Megan Murphy for a while in the first half, didn't really influence the game much, and there was none of his old drive. He's done brilliantly to get back from that hamstring injury, but one of the big things you want to see, can he go with that full sprint again? We haven't seen that at all from Matty as yet. And Tiernan McCann, I thought, had a poor game by his standards yesterday, but stayed on the whole game. So again, there is question marks about the depth, but certainly there is talent there, and the most difficult and important talent that you need is that forward talent, and Tyrone have that. And I always think if you have a bit of special talent, there's certainly enough footballers in Tyrone to build the squad. As to who's in charge of them, Mickey has always been very resolute and very quick to come out and say, absolutely, he's staying on. Why wouldn't he stay on? That's what I expected, to be honest, from him. The fact that he didn't do that has only then added much fuel to the fire in terms of him staying on now next year. The one thing, just from knowing him personally, he is hankering after that All-Ireland title, the All-Ireland title to be won without that original team, if you know what I mean, to win it with a new team. He has got within the top four several times with this current team, but always with that Achilles heel of that real lack of out-and-out talent up top that he's been trying to address. I find it strange to think he would stand down now whenever suddenly that appears to be there, and that Tyrone, by most people's accounts, with that squad that they're gathering, are maybe getting closer than they have been. I find it strange that he would relinquish that chance to somebody else.
That's interesting.
I can't see Mickey stepping away. If you were to watch it from an outside perspective, then you've Cal McShane to come in there, and you know Mickey's built it up and he's worked hard to, you know, get the squad together and bring it to the next level, and it just wouldn't make sense for him just to step away when he has a full season to go at it and a full season to work with these lads. And I think maybe, and he's built up enough credit that Mickey can go whenever he wants to go. It'll be up to him to decide, I think. So
if you spend time about Tyrone there, Eamon, credit could be
There's
a lot of names out for Mickey and Tyrone. And you know, you have, of course, you know, the last under 21 winning management team, it was Logan Doher and Canavan. You know, I think from a young Tyrone forward, if you said to me or any area of the pitch, these three guys that come in, I think it would give Tyrone such a lift. Now, of course, yes, everything you could say that he's earned the right, but at this point, and you know that, Eamon, listen, I know he's your club mate and that, but I'm just talking anecdotally around Tyrone. There's a lot of people looking for a change.
Oh, absolutely. Look, and it has changed slightly over the course of the year, but without a doubt, look, there was a massive groundswell feeling of need to change last year, but they knew he had the third year to run in this year, and then the start of the National League was a wee bit hit and miss. So again, that groundswell didn't go away at all. I think the COVID thing then made everybody forget about county football for a while, and the fact that it's only got up and going 3 weeks means that people are and we're already out of it. So that the whole groundswell maybe has abated a wee bit, but in terms of the currency from the previous All-Irelands, I think there is a core group of loyal people to Mickey that will allow him to go whenever he wants. But absolutely, Brendan, on the ground, there's an awful lot of people. There's some of them just want rid of Mickey. They couldn't even stand Mickey winning those All-Irelands, if you know what I mean. So you have those people as well.
It's cut to go to the throne. We're very civil here in Donegal compared to that.
There's a couple of things I would throw. Has he got the best panel available to him? Like, is players still coming out for him? They are. Is he getting the most out of that current squad? I think he is. What a freshen up change the mood music around Tyrone, because the mood music around Tyrone is pretty bad. It's a team that's viewed negatively, and you could weigh up that and think maybe a change would just freshen the thing up. I don't think anybody could deny a change after 17 or 18 years would freshen the thing up. But is there... Are they going to get a lot more out of the team there that's there at the minute? I would remain to be convinced. The most commonly named team to take over from him, waiting in the wings, is that group of boys you mentioned, Fergal, Logan, Brian Doher, Peter Canavan. They will not take it on if Hart is leaving in bad circumstances, if Hart has been pushed out. Peter Canavan will be loyal to Mickey. Brian Doher will be loyal to Mickey, and Fergal Logan would have more sense to come on in that sort of situation.
What about a man there doing well with Swatra? You've all the credentials that you're on about this new team. They haven't replaced the end of McGinley. That's another man you haven't replaced. Eamon, going back to our own men there around the what's coming up next in terms of what you've seen there. Eamon, were you surprised in that second half? You know, that these balls were coming in. Some balls were skidding past their half-back line and their defence. We seemed to be 1-1. For me, I was just thinking, Tyrone are going to get a goal. Is your feeling definitely around, we need to really protect our defence, and once we get the ball forward, we're very hard to stop? Would that be your feeling around Donegal?
Yeah, we're so good in the ball at the minute, you know, and you have to remember, for that, there was this time, I think, one of the McLeans went for the ball and it bounced over his head. Bradley was in for a score that time. And that's what happens when you go in that offensive and you leave natural forwards at the back. You're going to get that. And you have to remember that Neil had been taken off with the injury. So it's just about getting the balance. It'll come. It's just the back goes into spasm and that'll come again. Maybe it could be another 2 weeks. It could be a few months, and that's just the old age of just being a battering ram for Donegal. Instead of, I always tell him he should have played it a bit more slyly like I did.
You tell us you're a ball player now, Eamon. Now you're too
smart. I'm sick telling you that. But no, just in terms of what's coming up, you know, we definitely have to be careful with Armagh. Have so much talent there. You know, there's people being very, very maybe a wee bit too confident out and about in the Donegal GA public, like, so you just got to be really, really careful, because any team that is Jamie Clark, you know, the two O'Neills, Stephen Campbell, Roy Grugan, you have to be on your toes with these lads, and you know, hopefully Neil gets up the pace. You know, Paddy McGrath has a bit of game time in him and should shore up that defensive side of it now.
Yeah, and like you said there, Eamon, players stepping up like Hugh and like Langan in particular. You still have Jason McGee in the background there. I think there's a lot more to come from the likes of Niall O'Donnell as well in terms of what we had seen previous to him and that. And of course, not forgetting Oisin Gallan. You know, he didn't do that well in the Tyrone game. I know he had injuries in the club as he's coming through, but what a talent he is. I mean, see that score, you know, as much as Langan's 1-1, I think was the winning of the game in terms of after water break, you'd have to say for Donegal in terms of the overall scoring. That score of Gallan's was top drawer and the breeze, and that's what he have in his locker. And that with McBurdy coming back as well, there's certainly a lot of plus points for Donegal, but again, a lot of them are going forward, but certainly loads of options.
Yeah, and just on Gallan, like I think people are talking about this, and it's a brilliant score for a young fella, but the way he held on to the ball, the way he was able to make the right decisions in a pressure cooker, like you have to remember, that we talked about this Tyrone game for months and months, and the way the season had got on, it was just all building up to this Tyrone game, and throw a young fella in, and he just steps up, he gets the ball, he makes the right decision, he spreads it about, and for him to remain cool and take that point, it's a testament to the lad. And you know, people talked about him as being the best underage prospect in the province 3 years ago. And he's definitely fulfilling in that there now. So he's an option. Paddy's coming back an option now. And I think defensively we'll be all right. You have Lacey, you have Rochford there. They're not going to leave Donegal in a situation where they're going to be exposed defensively.
Yeah, solid stuff. And Armagh, what did you make of them against Derry? Maybe not.
I was in Celtic Park yesterday. So I suppose the queries that are hanging over this Armagh team, I think everybody knows how good they can be whenever they're at their best and on their front foot, and their attacking teams have got huge attacking talent there. Absolutely. The query is, have they got that sort of more steely aspect to be just rugged and hold out a game and to be really, really steady? I think they showed colours of that yesterday, which will be really encouraging for them. The game got a wee bit slippy in the second half and could have slipped away from them, and they could have cracked in. Now, in fairness, it was some of Derry's choices in terms of their shooting options at a critical point, I think, let them down. But Armagh still held strong, so they'll be very happy with that aspect. For me, though, Donegal are going to be a massive test. Derry attempted to do a defensive setup yesterday, but I didn't think it was overly tight. Now, it differed from people that I was there with yesterday, but I thought Armagh still got an awful lot of their shots away with relatively easy pressure. Armagh themselves were actually much more defensive and had a much more compact defensive shape than Derry actually managed to do yesterday. But Derry still cut through for plenty of scores, particularly in the second half when they went more at it. And Derry realistically have two main forwards, really, Shea McGuigan and Niall McLaughlin. So Donegal will bring much more attacking threat and a much stronger defensive threat. And Derry struggled a wee bit in midfield yesterday, particularly on kickouts. And Donegal are very strong across the middle. So it's very hard to see anything other than a Donegal win. But the biggest learning point from this weekend is the classic winter football leveller effect. Like, I don't think there's going to be much in any of these games from now on, and if Armagh really hit form and Donegal struggle, well, absolutely, it can be Armagh, but I really, really can't see Donegal slipping up, especially when they're realising what's ahead of them, and they've got that over that real monkey of Tyrone getting that done and dusted, Monaghan getting beat. This is Donegal's Ulster Championship to lose. Could they forgive themselves if they don't get this Ulster Championship and get a crack at that All-Ireland semi-final? I really struggle. And I was just writing down as you were talking, I know you complimented Tyrone and maybe having the strongest panel, but let's be real. Tyrone yesterday, if Tyrone were faced with a situation where, right, well, Jimmy Brennan's going to be quiet, Michael Murphy's going to be relatively quiet, Niall O'Donnell's going to be quiet, Ryan McHugh's going to be very quiet, Owen Ban Gallagher's going to be very quiet, Donegal don't have Paddy McGrath, they don't have Paddy McBrady, Neil McGee was off at half-time, and they don't have Jason McGee. Are Tyrone going to win? Well, you would absolutely think Tyrone are going to win. So the fact that they didn't, and Donegal, despite all of them things, turned it around and still, I think, were deserved winners, says an awful lot about Donegal. So Trone, there is hope there in Trone, absolutely. But Donegal, if they get their best team out and playing really well, they are something to be reckoned with, to be fair.
Yeah, you make
good man, and I was biting my tongue when Davy said that now, so I'm just glad you got that.
You always have to be overcritical here. You might give us your notes there, and to me and Eamon after the show there, we'll build a dossier on Armagh. I'm sure you have a wee bit more love for us than them. Sure. Eamon, tell me just last question, Eamon. Just as Enda said there, conditions is going to level things out a small bit, I think, in terms of like of what's going on as favourites to Armagh. Oisín McConville said yesterday that it was a free shot for Armagh. Something I was very surprised that, you know, Armagh are a Division 1 team, they're a common team. You know, they're coming to beat Donegal. You know, I think they'll ask as many questions as Tyrone did yesterday. It's still going to come right down the wire. And I'm just thinking also, small thing about the grounds, you know, we keep thinking about the game has to be on whatever ground, but a lot of the grounds, maybe, you know, people talked about Omagh and Clonus, heavy enough pitches, you know, should it be on the right pitch and now you're seeing as there's no crowds?
Probably going to be, you know, restricted by the choice because there's only so many pitches. If it keeps the weather keeps like that, there's only so many pitches that can take that type of weather now. But just what the leveller comment you just says there, it's so true. You know, when you, and this is saying, if I was to go and mark Jamie Brennan in a day like yesterday, I would stand a chance. If I was going to mark Jamie Brennan on a dry day, lots of space, I would be just roasted. And that's the thing about it. You know, when the weather can take it down, and, you know, we see Armagh struggle defensively, and we see Armagh, you can get at Armagh. And if the weather isn't suitable for the Donegal lads, it can level it up, and it's just so, so true.
Yeah. Fantastic stuff. We mainly see what happens as this Ulster Championship unfolds, and two men that know plenty about that unfolding and winning it, Enda McGinley and Eamon McGee, thanks for joining us this evening on the DL Debate. Yeah, great to hear from the two lads that have some history in those fixtures of Donegal and Tyrone. Now we turn our attention to the ladies and their quest for an All-Ireland. They were playing the Dubs on Saturday night. We're joined by Maxi Kern. Yeah, just from the weekend, massive game for our Donegal ladies against all-conquering Dublin, who were going for four in a row. No one gave us a chance, but knowing with Maxi Kern in charge, we definitely had a chance and came desperately so close to beating Dublin. Maxi joins me now. Maxi, listen, that must be a tough one to take in terms of coming so close to upsetting the odds.
Yeah, look, it is. It is a tough one. You know, we felt going into the game we had every opportunity. You know, they are a brilliant team, and they've had a brilliant run of success over the last 9 or 10 years, let alone the last three. They've won there in the three All-Irelands before that, you know, so you don't get that far without being a very good team and learning a lot of tricks along the way. And, you know, I think in fairness, that was one of the big differences in the two teams on Saturday night. You know, they were a lot more streetwise than us, and, you know, they were able to win the frees a bit better. They were able to engage in the dark arts and get away with it. And, I think that was a feature of it as well, you know, and just a wee bit of naivety on our behalf probably cost us, as well as a bit of bad luck.
Yeah, Max, you talk about the rub of the green. You know, it was a point in it, but that freak of a goal, 13 minutes to go in the game, we were just beginning to maybe make Dublin rock and put the pressure on them. And honestly, I've never seen anything like it in my life. It was just shocking stuff.
Yeah, look, it was most unfortunate, even in the lead up to it, there's probably a free out for us as well that we didn't get, and then, as I say, the gods conspired against us then, and, you know, I don't know, gods knew how it ended up in the net, but look, it did. And as you say, we were starting to, I think get on top at that stage, and we were starting to turn the screw. We done it at half time, 5 points down, and we got back to a point, and look, we were playing all the football at that stage, and Dublin were only surviving on counter attacks, and as I say, that was most of our even in the lead up before that, there was a free given against them. Karen got the ball on the sideline. That was very, very harsh in comparison to some of the stuff that Dublin's getting away with. So, you know, it is tough to take. But look, at the end of the day, you know, you can talk about bad luck, you can talk about referees and all the rest, but I think ultimately we have to take a look at ourselves, and it was our own, misfiring in the first half, for want of a better word, that probably cost us ultimately. You know, when we don't have time, 5 points down with playing against the Breeze, we left ourselves a lot to do. And, you know, if we had played anything at all in the first half, I think it would have made the game, you know, a lot more balanced. And but look, we didn't do that. We didn't transition well enough through the middle third. We, you know, we took ball away, you know, time after time, and that's probably the most disappointing. But, you know, we showed in the second half, I suppose, they've all good Donegal teams how well we can, you know, play the ball through the hand, and that's where we got all, you know, got our all frees and caused them the most bother, and that's the most disappointing bit, that it took us a half an hour to get that, you know, part of our game moving.
Aye, and this, Mickey, we have to talk about that Senegal fouling and the referee Brendan Rice. Do you think there was some way that they needed to get on top of that, you know, show a few extra yellows and warn people next one of those Senegal fouls you're going off? You know, you really have to get on top of that, Maxi. It's not, you know, it's not sportsmanlike. It's not part of, people say, oh, it's part of the game. It is if the ref doesn't have control of it.
It is, and, you know, looking at it from the big picture, from the LGFA perspective, like, it has to be nearly a red card offence in a man's game for there to be a yellow card now in women's game. You know, they rely on these, you know, supposed three ticks, three fouls to, you know, before someone can get a yellow. Like, there was a, you know, there was a blatant body check on Eve Carr half through the first half. You know, she was just completely poleaxed by one of the Dublin guards, and, you know, it was a definite yellow card, and it was just waved on, and because referees are so reluctant to give yellow cards in the ladies' game, and, you know, and that needs to be addressed by them. But look, I just think over the hour, Dublin definitely got their frees that bit easier. You know, when you watch the tape back, there's four or five frees, and just, you can't believe where he was able to call an offence against Donegal when you consider some of the stuff that he was letting go for Dublin the other end. You know, we were blown for a charge for a girl off the ball after Geraldine McLaughlin was fouled three times, you know, in a couple of seconds before that even happened. You know, we think like that. Even the water break, you know, Dublin got taken the kick out after the first water break, but we were still returned to the field, and the second water break we were in possession, and he stopped us kicking it twice to allow Dublin get set up to be in a position to defend it, you know. So and he actually turned it over. So we think that is hard to take. But look, I know what you're saying, but look, we're not blaming anybody. We just didn't play in the first half, and we left ourselves with a mountain to climb and too much to claw back at that stage. But even our own goal, look, some will say, you know, it was rather fortuitous the other one in the first half. So, you know, we're not blaming bad luck, and we just, you know, we gave it a good rattle. We came close, but ultimately, you know, we have plenty to look at ourselves for how we lost the game.
Yeah, a lot of pride in the performance. Maxie, just how that competition works for yourselves, Dubs, Waterford, then how that plays out?
Aye, well, look, it's a game. It's a bit of a farce, really, because, you know, we had one crack at it. There's three teams in a group. There's 12 senior teams altogether, four groups of three teams, and you play two games, and the top team in each group qualify. You know, so there's no quarterfinals or nothing. So really, you can't afford to lose a game, or you're pretty much gone, which is probably the case for us now. You know, that in itself is disappointing, because at least the men, they got the two National League games to get warmed up. You know, in our situation, it's even more frustrating, because they seeded four teams, which one would have thought would be the four provincial champions. But the powers that be, you know, made this call that they would, you know, seed the four teams that reached the All Ireland semi-final last year, and, you know, that's very frustrating for us. You know, we have figures from Donegal at the top end of the LGFA, and we feel very hard done by that. You know, our case wasn't fought for, you know, as a county and as a province, but that Ulster would have their say. But, you know, we ended up in the pot with other rest of teams, where, you know, the four semi-finalists from last year were sitting pretty with, you know, with no doubt about it, the easier side of the draw. So that in itself is a bit frustrating as well, you know, that again, you know, I know we feel hard done by up and marginalised in Donegal in a lot of places, but, you know, we do feel that we were harshly treated from the word go. But look, it, we had a chance to get over the line on Saturday, and we didn't take it as well, so you can't cry into your too much either.
Well, listen, Maxie, listen, hats off, just because with all that conspiring against you, that was making everything pointing towards a defeat, and probably a handy one for Dublin, or a straightforward one, far from it, only for that freak goal. So listen, well done to yourself and all the girls, heads held high, and you never know, something freakish might happen to the Dubs and we'll get through yet. But Maxie, listen, fair play, as I say, for the performance and getting the girls ready for Saturday night and coming so close.
Yeah, look, and I say, you know, I think as well it's important to mention, you know, it has been a tough couple of weeks for the LDFA and Donegal, you know, the tragedy that happened in the villain. I think, you know, everybody's heart goes out to the Hegarty family, and, you know, and what a performance the two girls put in, Niamh and Ciara, on Saturday night. You know, they've just been such warriors for Donegal, and, you know, and I think everybody was just so proud of the effort that they put in one of the circumstances, and, you know, along with the other girls that have given so much for Donegal, it was, you know, there are a lot of proud to be taken out of the performance, but it's heartbreaking the end of it, you know.
Very good point, Maxie. Well put, sir, and thanks for joining us on the DL Debate. I'll speak to you soon. Yeah, great to hear from Maxie Kern there. What a great effort from himself and the ladies at the weekend. Now we turn our attention to our look back at our championships from 25 years ago. This week it's our senior champions, Killybegs. Now, folks, I'm transporting you back in time. We've been doing features on championship winners from 25 years ago across the grades, and we get to senior level now from 1995. The great Killybegs team won our senior championship. I grew up knowing that this Killybegs team was one of the best club teams we ever had. Their tops marksman, of course, was the one and only Manus Boyd, one of our heroes from 92, man of the match in that final, hitting 9 points. And I'm delighted to say he joins me this evening to discuss that championship won from way back then. How are you, Manus?
Not too bad, Brenton, and yourself?
Manus, great. Thanks so much for joining us on the show. Manus, I had a look back on YouTube at the video on that, and I guess after the wind and the rain in Ballybuffet yesterday, you know, with that lovely senior championship summertime feel against your foes, Glenn Colum Kill. Manus, the whole thing about Killybegs at the time, you had a serious team. The year before didn't go that well for you, but just pulled it together in 95 to go back and take a title.
Yeah, I suppose to reflect on the journey that we had, I mean, it came from a great underage teams of, you know, the 80s, when a group of lads under Jimmy White's guidance, you know, came through. I suppose Killybegs, before that group came along, probably weren't noted as being, you know, competitive in the senior championship, especially in the 80s. You know, we were in the intermediate, we were in junior championship and that. And I suppose that group came along and, you know, between one thing and another, we put a fairly good squad together, good trainers, good backroom team, good manager, and we developed it from there. Of course, then we had the loss of Eamon Byrne in 88. And I think that kind of gelled as a group of people together and gave us a focus on how we wanted to respect, or how we wanted to show our respect and our love for a man that when he played for Killybegs, he only ever done it one way, and that was 100%. And we tried to do his memory and to do his belief in us as a group of young men. We wanted to do that justice, Brenton, and I suppose that's where that group of players came from in terms of their commitment, their intensity, their will to win, their never say never. At times, maybe we were always prepared to cross that line, that give us a different feature, you know.
Yeah, interesting. And you know, John Cunningham, your captain, talked of the spirit. You know, that's something he said that was in the camp. Because, man, there's no doubt in the talent that you just had right across the board. You know, taking us right back to the start of it, funny, I talked to Joe McBertie, affectionately known as Joe Barney. He was reckoned he was the coach that made the difference that year. But he actually talked about you kicking a 45 right under the stand down at Clonhilly in the first round. Do you remember them? Do you remember them moments, man? It can be hard sometimes to go that far back, but do you remember that?
I do remember the game in Clonhilly, and we've had some unbelievable encounters with different teams at that time, and Clonhilly were one of those sides, along with Red Hughes, Ballyshannon, especially Glenn Ardrai. You know, we had some huge battles with them. I do remember the game in Clonhilly. I was given some great advice from that stand, Brenton, on how to kick that free.
But you held the nerve. You held the nerve. No better man.
They were very complimentary when it went over.
And as you say, you put away by some of your big rivals there, Ballyshannon. You beat our fellas as well, unfortunately, on the way to what was a huge rivalry at the time. You know, obviously Glencombe Kill had such a tough record in terms of finals and that, but they come up short in a game which, look, that man, I skimmed over it last night. I was looking at bits and pieces. He just did control most of the game outside of a second half goal. Noel Higgerty going on one of the greatest runs I've ever seen, actually, in a match, coming barnstorming up through the middle of your pitch, as only Noel does. But you steadied the ship and seen out the game.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, when we look back, it's easy to look back. But at the time, I mean, I played along with John Joe and Noel Paddy. In fact, one of the first lifts I ever got to county training was from a good Glen man called Patrick Carr. You know, so the connections was always there between ourselves and Glen, and it was always a battle. And I mean, even though at times you look comfortable in a game, in some games, you always knew Glen were coming back, and it was never typified better than when Higgs would go on one of those runs, and he'd done it so many times for Donegal, he was always going to do it for Glen, you know. And he was one of those players that was very hard to pull down, because believe me, we all tried. Yeah. You know, but he was good at it. And I suppose those games, you know, it brought the best out of everybody. You knew you had to be at your best. I knew that if I was going into the game, it would be JJ that would be picking me up. And I had a huge respect for JJ. We trawled a long, long time together. And it was always a battle. And he won some, I won some, you know. But definitely a mutual respect was there from both sides. But it was always an encounter that you look forward to. And instead of not wanting that, I think our nature was to want to be playing against the best, to want to play against the best players and be the best team. I mean, we were surrounded by tradition in Killybegs. Glen had their tradition, Kilcar, Ardra. They were huge traditional GA strongholds where Killybegs growing up at that time, Brenton, we weren't noted for that when we grew up in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
So when this group, we wanted to make, you know, our own history and be seen as a stronghold for the JA, you know.
And you certainly were, man. Was it just that real? I mean, the effect of the area, you know, the town, the lift that gave the area, because, you know, you did become top dogs in the area. And for me, and people have often said it, one of the best club teams that has ever come out of the county. There obviously was those Ulster attempts that come up just short. And something Joe was saying to me about lads that were away with work, fishermen, etc., kind of hampered maybe a tilt at winning Ulster. Did you? There was a couple of seasons there you seemed to be, you know, certainly one of the sides that could have won Ulster, because there was many years that Donegal teams were way off the mark. It didn't seem the case for yourselves.
Yeah, I would probably say that 91 and 92 was our best opportunities. But again, I mean, we come from a community that's thrived from fishing, and a lot of the lads that played, you know, the Carberries, you know, they were fishing. Mickey Campbell fishing, you know, David Meehan, God rest him, fishing. You know, all these lads were at sea, and if you were involved in any way within the fishing industry at the time, like even in my own job, I could be anywhere, Brenton, wherever the company sent you to do whatever the boats wanted, that's what you done. So it certainly didn't help us, but I mean, I certainly wouldn't use it as an excuse why we lost those games. We lost them because we didn't play well enough on the day. Yes, we could have been prepared a wee bit better, but at the time we prepared as best we could, and we still have felt we should have done better, especially in 91, you know. But I mean, that's the way sport is. We were fortunate, I suppose, in some days that we got over the line, and then other days, you know, where we didn't probably play as well as we could have, or we maybe weren't let us play as well as we could have. You just leave it behind. But I think maybe those defeats probably helped us come 95 and 96 when, you know, Kilcar beat us in the final in 93. We weren't good in 94. I think everybody was tired. I think, you know, we had a long road done from really 87 to 90 three where we're involved in the business end of the championship nearly every year. And I think maybe not intentionally we all took a year off in 94, but we came strong back in 95 and 96 and again probably with a different group of players, but with the same ideals, the same attitude, the same culture, the same values, you know, and it's something that I think that we all can be proud of, you know, when we look back, you know.
Yeah, and I came just at the end of that team, Manus. Most of yous were in the twilight of your career, but I noticed of yous was probably stood yous in Ulster why yous were so close is your ability to keep the ball. Yous were physically strong, but also on the ball. Whenever yous got it, it was like, oh no, it was only, we were going to have to wait our time. I mean, now you see teams doing that a lot because they have so many spare men. Yous didn't. It was just individually on the ball. You could work the ball over and back. You had so many great ball players. And that's probably what let Donegal sides going in the Ulster. They weren't physically strong enough already. Whereas yous already were playing that kind of Ulster system where yous were teak tough and good on the ball. And that's probably why yous were one of the teams in the round that time that came close.
Yeah, I think maybe it goes back to the time where we played... where we won two Ulster Club Minor titles in St. Paul's and St. John's in Belfast. Like, I think when you went up there to play against, especially the Derry or the Armagh teams, they kept the ball off you. And I think we learned fairly quickly at Minor that in order to, you know, this was their way of playing football. A lot of the lads had played for Fulcara in McLarnon and that. And their attitude was not to give away the ball because... You know, as we always said, it's nine-tenths of the law. And, you know, especially when we played for Donegal, some of the lads liked to, you know, hoover on a bit. And it took a while for the younger lads to establish, you know, maybe just hold on to it a while, you know, keep it. It's hard to get back, you know, keep it. And we set up our score. And, you know, I think that was in our mentality as 17 and 18-year-olds. And certainly it was something that Jimmy White had developed from that time, and Jimmy was very much for keeping the ball, not giving it away. Come back when you were needed to come back, close down space, close down areas, you know, put the other team under pressure from kickouts, from sideline balls, especially with inside their own 50. And it's something that we developed, and we probably were suited more to play in Ulster in the 90s, but, you know, that's not the way it always happens. And I think in 95 and 96, I think that Ulster dream had probably had passed because of the miles that were on the clock, Brenton, you know.
Yeah, and listen, some unbelievable teams that time in Ulster too, man, let's not forget. Man, it's just you're obviously a brilliant player for Donegal, great club, man. You know, you've gone back in there now. You've told me earlier, I speak to you at games, always a great man to talk to at games for insights, and you've gone back now to try and help out at Minors. Are they doing a keep ball there? You're doing your bit for the club, because I know you've been a bit dismayed, man. It's no more myself, and I want to talk to you down the road. You know, we're going to have a debate about tactics and what clubs is doing to your young players and senior players, etc. But you're doing a bit with the Minors there at Killybegs this season.
Yeah, I hope to, you know, continue that keep ball strategy. But the one thing I will say, when we did keep the ball, Brenton, as a group in Killybegs back in the 90s, we kept the ball going forward. We kept it, but we kept it going forward.
Yes, yes.
We didn't, you know, I don't think we ever used, you know, we had a couple of great goalkeepers in our time, Ian Cunningham and the great David Meehan. I don't think we ever passed it back to him. And if we did, it was certainly the last resort, you know, at any of that time. But we kept the ball going forward, even though we kept the ball. And at times, yeah, we worked it out from the corner, but we didn't work it the whole way back. You know, we were keeping the ball for a purpose. And, you know, I remember, I'm not sure which one of the county finals it was, but we actually kept the ball for two and a half minutes near the end, even though we were only a point up and we had opportunity to go for a point. But it was more valuable for us to keep the ball and wind down the clock. I think it might have been 96. You know, just wind down the clock, wind down the play, take this thing out of the game, you know. And it was a tactic, I suppose, that's been used today, but it's more so now because of teams playing a more defensive strategy.
Yeah, and having so...
We've seen yesterday, in most of the games yesterday, and indeed the game on Saturday with Cavan and Monaghan, you know, once you lost possession, everybody went back.
Yeah.
You know, it seems that full-backs and cornerbacks can travel you know, 50, 60 metres with the ball without being tackled, where that wouldn't have happened in the 90s.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
you had to go back, you had to push back. And even if I look back in the 92 team of, that won the All-Ireland, I mean, there was plenty of instances, first half, second half, that Tony might have been the only one in the forward line. Mm. That both myself and Bonner would have to go back, and definitely Joyce and Wee James would be continuously tackling behind. And it was the same format for Killy Beggs. I mean, I think our wing half-forwards in 95 were Wee Herbie and Harry, Paul Callaghan and Mark Boyle, and they continuously worked the lines up and down the field, helping out the defence. But at the same time, when the opposition was coming out of defence, they were up there pressing and pressing hard, you know.
Yeah, magic stuff. Manus, we heard it all here. You and Bonner tracking back. I must have missed that bit when that was happening.
Check the tape.
Manus, listen, thanks so much for joining us. I say, we want to get you on in the future here to be talking about club tactics, etc., down the line. And thanks so much for that look back to Killy Beggs, county champions in 1995.
Pleasure, Brent. Thank you.
Right, folks, that's a wrap. I want to thank so much my guests for joining me this evening, Eamon McGee, Enda McGinley, Maxie Kern and Manus Boyle. I want to thank Kenneth for producing here in studio. I'll speak to you next week.
The DL Debate, brought to you by the Dry Arch Complex and 24-hour service station Letterkenny.